Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Get Ready Show!
I am the best in the world at what I do.
The best in pro wrestling talk.
And that's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold that's the this right here is the future of wrestling.
And it begins now.
You've tuned in to the Ken Reedy Show, the best in pro wrestling talk. Before we go any further, I just want to put it out there that I am battling allergies, much like most Americans in the Northeast right now. Allergy season is kicking my ass. So vocally, if I don't sound great, I apologize up front. Yesterday morning, I woke up with no voice, hoping to get through the 90 minutes of a special Russian roulette episode of the Ken Reedy Show. But I have a great cast here, so if I can't talk anymore, I'm sure the rest of the fellas here will be able to take over. But thank you all for tuning in on this Sunday evening. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheKenReedyShow. Again, facebook.com/TheKenReedyShow. We have lots of conversations over there, post some stuff. We post information when we get it. We usually post a show schedule if we're changing things up over there. So check us out. Like us there. Get on board right now. We got a show chat post up on the Facebook page. So if you have some topics you want talked about tonight, post on the Facebook page. Maybe we'll join in and grab your topic. Again, today's Russian roulette. So all of us on the show, we haven't spoke on what the topics are going to be. We're going to bring up a bunch of random topics, and we're just going to talk about them. Check us out on Twitter. @TheKenReedyShow is our Twitter handle. You check us out over there. And you can check out our website, thekenreedyshow.com. We thank you all who are listening to us live on Sunday night as we go from 6:30 to 8 o'clock this evening. But if you're listening to us pre-recorded, you're listening to us on the brainchild of one Mark Adam Haggerty, B-plus Players Radio Network. Check us out over there. Listen to us. Listen to us pre-recorded. Listen to us live. Listen to us as much as you can possibly listen to us. And listen to other great shows on the B-Plus Players Radio Network. Lots of great stuff over there. Glad to be part of that group. So without further ado, let's bring the cast on board. First off, in a Russian roulette Sunday, cannot get through this. Cannot make heads or tails of all the randomness that's going to occur tonight without my tag team partners on the line. Dave, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be back. I'm ready to rock and roll. Ready to talk about whatever comes to our mind, good or bad. It's one of the more exciting episodes of our show that I really look forward to doing, because flushing the format, I think it's a pretty cool concept.
Yeah, I dig it too, because and people out there might not believe us, but really and truly, like, we don't discuss anything we're going to talk about tonight. We all come up with random thoughts, and we're all crazy in our own right, so who knows what the hell any of us are going to want to talk about. And we also have independent wrestling sensation Rocky Santiago in the house as well. Rocky, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, Ken, Dave. As always, a pleasure to be here, and looking forward to spinning the barrel, putting a round in Chabrier, and just firing away and seeing what hits.
All right. or what matters, like. So before, you know, it's interesting. Before we get into this, and I wanted to mention this, you know. And people who know me on Facebook know that, like, I have a dog, and we have kind of a special relationship. And some may say maybe we're just too close. We work together, we hang out together, and my dog Monty is a therapy dog. And I have to give a shout out to soldiers and veterans. And I was fortunate enough through this organization, Hudson Valley Paws for a Cause, if you're looking for a great organization to donate to get involved with, they're tied to the Red Cross. But we're just a group of therapy dogs that go out and just our job is to make people smile. And last week for Fleet Week, we visited the Intrepid. We met some soldiers there, which was, pretty eye-opening because, the soldiers we met, you know, once you get in your 40s, you see someone who's 17, 18 years old. I mean, they're babies. And to know that, what they're doing to defend us, to defend our country, and the ability to bring a dog in and bring some smiles was really pretty cool. And today we went to what they call a deployment event, where there were soldiers there pre- and post-deployment, and their families and their children. And when you think about I get a little bit emotional when I talk about it, but what the soldiers do for us and to defend us and just be able to do a little bit and walk in and walk into a room full of children who perhaps their mom or dad just got back, or maybe their mom and dad is about to leave. And we could just go in there and give some smiles. It was just pretty cool to be a part of that. And I just wanted to shout out Hudson Valley Paws for a Cause for letting us be a part of that, letting us bring smiles. We've done it before, but Rocky, thank you for your service and for defending this country. What we did today, Monty and myself and the other therapy teams, is a small part, but it really meant a lot for us to be able to go in and do something like that. So I just want to give a shout out. It was just something pretty profound to be a part of. And it's just cool to feel like you're adding positivity into the world. There's so much negativity. And if you could just take your little sliver of the universe and throw some positive energy out there, I think more people should be going out there and trying to do that. So not to get all heavy and deep and emotional, but I wanted to kick off the show with that. And I'm going to kind of parlay that into a top of a conversation, a kind of lighthearted conversation as I get a little heavy to kick off the show. But I thought, since I wanted to say something about the event and how cool it was and being able to be a part of something like that, favorite dog characters in the history of wrestling. And I started thinking about it, and I was like, wow, when you think about it, number one, now there's the big dog. There's Roman Reigns, British Bulldogs, Junkyard Dog, Mad Dog, Vachon. I mean, there's so many out there. And I thought, and it's interesting because there's no rhyme or reason to what, a Roman Reigns is totally different from a Junkyard Dog. That was totally different from Davey Boy Smith. That was totally different from Mad Dog Vachon. And who could forget Moondog Spot and Moondog Rex? So I thought, let's have a conversation about the dog characters over the years in pro wrestling and some of our favorites. And one thing that really struck me as I was starting to think about this and using this as a topic was the idea that kayfabe was protected years ago and you were meant to and wanted to believe it was real. And that was how wrestling was portrayed and how it was given to its fan base. And we bought into the Moondogs. Like, when you think about the ridiculousness of those characters, when I look back on like the Moondog Spot and Moondog Rex, they could be related to the Wyatts, like coming down to the ring, like gnawing on their bones. It brought back like memories of just nostalgia. Like, oh no, it's the Moondogs. Like, how ridiculous were those characters? But they were awesome. And I know that Rocky probably has more nicknames than just about anybody I know. But one of his nicknames is Mad Dog. So when you think about some of dog characters in the world of pro wrestling, like, what are some that jump to mind? What are some that you like resonated with you? Some of your favorites? Just give us your thoughts on some of the dogs in the history of wrestling.
Well, some of the dogs in the history of wrestling. Well, the first one that really jumps into my head has to be JYD, Junkyard Dog, and the reason the JYD always connected with me was the dude was always ready with a headbutt, and headbutt is obviously one of my favorite moves. But one of the spots that, back then was funny. Now that I look back on it, it's even funnier maybe. But if you think back to JYD, especially in his later years, when maybe you know, the physicality that he had dropped off a bit. But one of the spots that JYD used to run that I thought always thought was hilarious was when he was on all fours, he did a charging headbutt to, you know, whoever was on the canvas, and then he would run up and lift his freaking leg. And the crowd would pop so hard. And, you know, obviously he's pantomiming, you know, he's pantomiming a dog. But, you know, as a kid, you know, as a kid, we're like, he's peeing on him. Where is this going? You know, but still, it obviously got the crowd. The crowd went nuts for it, and he did it. And, you know, just hilarious. Aside from JYD, you know, British Bulldog, again, one of my favorites, but JYD always sticks out of my head as far as one of the most prominent dog characters on the circuit.
How about you, Dave?
I mean, I'm a big Roman Reigns guy now, as I think the both of you are, judging by our you know, daily conversations, our weekly conversations on the show. I wouldn't say I've had a favorite. I mean, one that comes to mind for me probably would be the British Bulldog or the British Bulldogs, but I think more of the most memorable and not so memorable dog moments in wrestling. The earliest memory I have of an animal in wrestling was when the British Bulldogs used to bring Matilda out to the ring, and the night that Bobby the Brain Heenan and the Islanders stole Matilda from the Bulldogs, and they chased them through the arena and they disappeared. And for weeks, Bobby Heenan would come on TV and have that dog leash with the invisible dog saying that it was Matilda taunting the British Bulldogs. And I remember as a kid thinking to myself, they stole their dog, call the police. And nothing happened to them, and they were still wrestling every week. And that's probably like the earliest memory I have of animals in wrestling. Jake the Snake, of course, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and his kimono dragon at one point, but the British Bulldogs probably the earliest one for me. And then, of course, there's some not so memorable moments involving dogs, like when the late Big Boss Man fed Al Snow's dog Pepper to him.
Yes.
Do you remember that? He kidnapped the dog and then he fed him to him. And then they had the very forgettable Kennel from Hell match, where it was the old blue steel cage in the ring, and then it was surrounded by the Hell in the Cell, and they had Rottweilers surrounding the ring so that if Big Boss Man tried to escape.
I haven't like thought about that since like it happened. Like now, like I gotta watch it now. I have this like vague recollection of it.
Those are probably the two memories involving dogs that come to mind for me right now. I'm sure that some more might pop up, but I didn't really necessarily. If you could say a favorite, probably Davey Boy Smith was, you know, and the British Bulldogs were probably my favorite dogs in wrestling, so to speak.
Yeah, I the British Bulldogs for me were one of my favorite tag teams. I mean, I really enjoyed them as a tag team, and then I really liked Davey Boy as a singles competitor as well. I'd probably fall back on JYD as my favorite dog character, but. British Bulldog is close for me personally. I dug the character. You know, I thought he was a guy that could have been potentially a main event guy, just never really ascended to that level, but, you know, and sadly passed away way too young. But I always thought Bulldog kind of, you know, it's tough sometimes separating from a tag team, a highly successful tag team, and getting out there as a singles guy. And I think he did a good job, and he had a good, I mean, jack to the gills, but moved pretty well for a big guy. And I thought he could have potentially been a main event, just never quite got there. But so, you know, it's just interesting to me when you think about these characters, how different each one is, you know, with the dog moniker. And I think guys that, you know, like a British Bulldog or a JYD kind of jumped to mind, but, you know, Roman Reigns with, it's weird because you don't really look at him as a dog, quote unquote, character, but dog is part of the moniker. At this point in time, probably the most successful, quote unquote, wrestler ever with the dog moniker. When you think about the main eventing WrestleMania amount of times he has, the championships, the career he's had, and he's far from done, that at this point in time, Roman Reigns might be the most successful dog, quote unquote, in the history of pro wrestling.
That's a very good point. And he does make alliterations to his yard.
Yes.
He's the big dog in his yard. And as far as dog characters, I agree with you and Dave. Davey Boy Smith, definitely a big part of that dog history. And honestly, when I look back, Davey Boy Smith, especially his physique, he watching him was the reason I got into weightlifting. Just, and it wasn't, at least as memory serves, it wasn't so prominent when he was in his tag team with Dynamite Kid. But I feel that, once he branched out of the singles, he got bigger.
Yeah.
And he was just, his physique was just ridiculous. And I remember it was the feud that he had with the, I believe it was the Warlord, who at the time, I think the Warlord was using the full Nelson. And I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure it was the Warlord. And it was like a full Nelson versus, who can break out of the full Nelson? And Davey Boy was the one. Like, it was like, dude, this, I don't know anyone with a pair of arms, aside from maybe Hogan, that can hold Davey Boy in such a hold. But, definitely for those kind of characters. And, not to toot the horn of any of our group, but I was a fan of the American Bulldog, Ken Reedy, who gave me some of my best matches of my independent wrestling career. I think the powers that be didn't give a good enough chance to develop the character, but we took the character somewhere else where the Bulldog thrived.
Yeah, you're right. And I would have liked to have had more of an opportunity to explore the character, but ironically enough, it was just kind of, let me just come up with a moniker and who knows if I'll use it going forward or not. And I was shocked that nobody had ever used the American Bulldog. And honestly, I was inspired by the British Bulldog. I mean, that was where I was looking at wrestlers that, I was inspired by, and wrestlers that, where could I mean, I love getting in the ring and wherever I can paying homage in some way. And a lot of times for me when I'm in that ring, it's something very simple. It'll be like a look or a gesture or something that, in my mind, and I don't know if anybody picks up on it, but for me, it's like I'm paying respect to someone. And I try to do that most of the times I'm in the ring. American Bulldog, for me, was an homage to the British Bulldog. When I looked at guys that I was fans of and guys that I would want to pay respects to, and when I started just going through the different names and stuff, and I came upon Davey Boy, and I'm like, huh, has anyone ever been called the American Bulldog? And I looked at, I was looking online, I'm like, I don't see any wrestler who's ever called himself the American Bulldog. I'm going to go with that. So that was definitely an homage to the British Bulldog. And right now at 347-838-9815, as we have a Russian roulette, false count anywhere, yada yada, flush the format, all the monikers. You want to call us and you have a topic you want to bring up, something random, throw it at us. If you want to talk about a topic we're already speaking on, we can do that too. But let's go out to the phones. I don't necessarily know this number, but it's Connecticut. Caller, are you there?
Kenny Reedy. Mr. Trivia here.
Oh, Mr. Trivia, how are you doing, brother?
Good. Mr. Rosenbluth, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. You guys are talking about the dogs and all this other. I remember growing up, one of my favorites to watch other than Ox Baker was Mad Dog Vachon.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he fails in comparison to the American Bulldog, but other than that, it's one of the guys I remember.
When you bring up a guy like Mad Dog Vachon, like, what were some of the things that drew you to him as a character?
Yeah, I remember him, back in the day, and he was one tough SOB, I'll tell you. Him and his brother, the Butcher Paul Vachon, I mean, they were just two of the greats back in the day. And the British Bulldog, yeah, I mean, I can go with that too, because, they're still doing this petition about him being in the Hall of Fame, and, I'm kind of on the fence whether he should be in the Hall of Fame or not. I mean, there's people that are in the Hall of Fame that, I really don't understand why they're there. And I mean, the British Bulldog is, multiple time champion in the WWE. So, I mean, is Vince just, like the way the Bulldog, I guess the Bulldog had passed from a heart attack, which had to do with, some illegal substances, I guess. Maybe that's going on with Vince, but I mean, I don't know. It's, you never know what's going to happen with that. But one thing I want to talk to you guys about before I get off the phone is this upcoming pay-per-view. I don't know. You guys, in my opinion, I think it's too early. But do you guys think it's too early for a Ronda Rousey title match?
That's a good topic to bring up. And, again, anything counts today. I personally, for me, and we'll go around the horn, I think it is. Now, we'll see, and I'm holding reservations. We'll see if they give us a good storyline. Because, to me, Ronda Rousey's still an attraction. And, number one, if she loses, it's kind of a – really, like, you know, you brought in this you know, the toughest woman on the planet, and she loses. If she wins, number one, Nia Jax's title run sucked. And to me, the only place you have to go after you win a title is down. So you have Ronda Rousey. Eventually, she's got to lose that title. I would rather see a build with the character. Now, if they do something where Natalya, Mickey James interferes, costs Rousey the match, and then we get a program with one of the veterans that I think would be great for Rousey, then that works for me. But I am of the opinion that, for me, short term, they may prove me wrong. I think it's kind of early for her to be put into the mix. I think she still has a lot of value as an attraction.
I wholeheartedly agree with you, Ken, and I'm going to say this, a little bit of a prediction, if you will, because I think you made a great point as far as if they're going to put her in a match with Nia Jax, you know, toying with the title this early, then you know what? You make someone cost Ronda the title, and for me, that person is none other than Asuka. And I think if Asuka somehow, you know, it's out of the blue, but if Asuka costs her the title, then I think you have a great, you build a great rivalry that does not need a belt. That, you know, Asuka, I've been beating everyone here for all this time, and this person just comes in, waltzes right in, and already has a title shot. Not going to happen. So I think there's legs with something like that, because I agree with you that The belt needs to stay with Nia for a little bit, at least just to make this run legitimate. I was happy that Nia got the belt, and I think she deserves to run with it at least a little bit longer.
And I think she's doing a lot of good. You know, not being your typical female wrestler, her anti-bullying stance. I think, you know, everything she's doing is good for the belt. It's good for girls watching pro wrestling. I think there's a lot of good Nia can do with that belt. So yeah, I'd like to see this title run to be a little more substantial. What do you think, Dave?
I'm kind of on the fence with this subject. On one hand, the way that they set the match up at the NBC upfronts, where Nia challenged her and Ronda openly admitted that she hasn't been there that long, she doesn't deserve a title opportunity, there's plenty of other women that deserve it before her, they kind of covered their bases there, so that topics like this, where we're talking about does she deserve an opportunity at the title, that kind of gets thrown out the window. I like how they kind of set it up in that manner. Man's involvement, I think, is crucial in this. Because, like you said, Ken, once you win the title, the only way to go is down. And and judging by Ronda Rousey's past of her with her past losses in MMA, UFC has been able to tell a better story of Ronda's comeback suffering from those losses than of her meteoric rise to the top. And I feel like the only meaningful finish to this match would be either someone on behalf or herself, Stephanie McMahon, be the reason why Ronda Rousey loses the match to Nia Jax and gets screwed over, and continues the storyline between Ronda and Steph. Because the last time Steph and Ronda were in the ring before that contract signing a couple of weeks ago, Ronda busted her arm. Stephanie McMahon's character has always been known to get the last laugh, and she was involved in that contract segment for a reason. So I feel like to build Ronda and to really develop her character with the WWE audience, is for her to get screwed by Stephanie McMahon or someone representing Stephanie McMahon at Money in the Bank and then build towards the eventual Steph Ronda one-on-one match that's going to be the bigger attraction.
Yeah, I kind of definitely 100% agree with that. Now, Dave and Ken, I don't know if you guys had saw the thing that was on one of the websites that June 15th, they're having this celebrity undercover boss segment that's going to be on TV, and Stephanie McMahon's going to be on it. So that's going to be quite interesting to see. But one of the other things I just wanted to talk about real quick, one of the matches I think that is going to be a little too predictable for the upcoming Money in the Bank is Carmella and Asuka. I mean, I think Asuka's going to win the match, but I don't see her winning the title. I think it's going to get a little hot and heavy for Carmella in the match, and she's going to end up taking off and getting counted out. You know, just giving, you know, Asuka the win, but not the title. I don't really see – the one I'd like to see get the title back, but I don't know, it's probably – you know, her time might have been her time. I don't know if they're going to give her any more title matches with the injury now and stuff, is Charlotte. But what do you guys think about the Asuka-Carmella match? You think it's going to be as one-sided as – I mean, I think it's going to be one-sided. I don't know what you guys think.
I mean, I could see that scenario kind of playing itself out. I mean, I'm torn with how I feel about Carmella because I don't think she's very good. But I think she plays the chicken shit heel well. So I kind of go back and forth on it. Like, I watch her in the ring, I'm like, oh, God. Like, I just think she just looks terrible with a lot of her quote-unquote wrestling. However, you know, when it comes to pro wrestling, I'll be the first one to say, you know, accentuate the positives, minimize the negatives. And I think Carmella does a good job with her character. You know, I got to give her credit for that. And, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't expect it to be a really good match, quote unquote. I think we'll see a good story unfold. And yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if we have some sort of screwy finish and Carmella walks out with the title. But like, she doesn't necessarily win the match or she pulls some sort of shenanigans.
Yeah. Well, guys, I just want to get going. I want to say, Dave, thank you very much for the birthday wishes. I appreciate it. It meant a lot. And, I will talk with you guys later on. Once again, great show. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks a lot for giving us a call. Don't be a stranger, man.
All right.
And there you have it. Good stuff. So we've hit dog characters. We've hit some ladies wrestling. Weird, like dogs and ladies. But, Dave, what do you got for us? Give us one of your topics you wanted to throw out there today.
Well, before I do, I'm just curious: is there an endorsement for Chapstick in line for Rocky and Mr. Trivia with the American Bulldog comments there? I'm just curious. do we have a sponsor I didn't know about? I mean, I'm just I you know.
Well, I mean, is I that Russian roulette show is sponsored by the American Bulldog, so.
all kidding aside. My topic this week, we talk about the storylines and we dissect them, and I wanted to kind of go with a different approach and a different spin a little bit and talk about the business side. WWE recently made a major announcement regarding their future on TV. NBC Universal decided they're not going to renew the television rights to SmackDown Live, and they allowed the show to be put on the open market. Fox won that bid. And they'd been one of the major networks interested in acquiring WWE's television rights for some time. The deal was for a record $1 billion over the course of 5 years. For all you mathematicians out there that live in your parents' basement, that comes out to $250 million a year. The largest TV contract domestically here in the United States. As far as I know, this is probably the biggest deal WWE has ever had with their television deals domestically. NBC Universal, reportedly, they want to retain the television rights to Monday Night Raw, and allegedly, according to the Hollywood Reporter, they're going to do so over the course of the next 10 years at $265 billion, which comes out to, once again, mathematicians in the basement, $265 million a year. The current deal WWE has with NBC Universal is for $130 million a year to air both Raw and SmackDown. We live in a world where people view TV differently, with most, myself included, have been cutting the cord with cable, switching over to streaming services like Hulu, Sling TV, YouTube TV, just to name a few. The respective television contracts, I got a question when it comes to numbers like this. What do these deals entail? For this amount of money, a regular Joe like me, I can't imagine that both Fox and NBC Universal are backing up the Brinks truck just for WWE to deliver the same programming as they did before, but this time for way more money. It's a bigger end game here. Now just hold that thought, guys, okay? Because this is important. There have been rumors on social media and on the dirt sheets that WWE has been discussing the idea of entertaining offers from television networks to acquire the rights to broadcast WrestleMania on network television in similar fashion that the NFL does with the Super Bowl. Open bidding to NBC, Fox, CBS, ABC, all the major networks could be in line to host a WrestleMania. So my questions here are, with these two new deals in place, will we see WrestleMania on network television in the next 5 to 10 years? Do we see a scenario where Fox and NBC, are they going to alternate airing the event on the off years that they don't have the Super Bowl? And if those numbers and that business venture is successful, could we see open bidding to like ABC or CBS? And another question, I know there's a lot to throw at you here. Is the WrestleMania brand, is it strong enough to warrant networks to want to bid on airing the event? Is it strong enough that advertisers want to pay big money for ad time during the broadcast? Could we see WrestleMania with commercials, dollar to air the event commercial free, while advertisers brand their product in different parts of the show? So if you guys can answer some of those questions for me, maybe give your thoughts and ideas on how you could see WrestleMania on network television, and then I'll kind of give you what I think could possibly happen if they were to go down that route.
Well, I hope it happens, because then maybe they'll cut it down from being like 12 freaking hours. Like if WrestleMania is on NBC, they're not going to put a broadcast that's 8 hours. There's no way a network is going to say, oh, sure, we'll air an 8-hour wrestling show. You know, it's interesting, because one of my topics, if we didn't get to it, was the Fox deal and actually All In. Because I was looking at, you know, that we might be, you know, a lot of times in the history of pro wrestling, you don't realize that something's a benchmark until after the fact. It's so difficult to recognize when you're at a place in history where things can really change. And with Cody Rhodes and what we're looking at with All In, and with what's happening with Fox and NBC and the WWE, you know, right now, this era, this time period, we may be looking back in, you know, 10 years from now saying, wow, the whole wrestling business changed in 2018. Like that was the moment. I think we will see WrestleMania on network television. I think that networks are starting to, and I think ESPN has helped with that to kind of validate pro wrestling. You know, it's kind of a weird kind of, you know, cycle where you feel like with the WWE, you know, the 80s, family friendly, and people say PG product. We didn't have the rating, but it was a PG product in the 80s. It got a little too ridiculous early 90s. But then we went into the Attitude Era, where as much as Vince McMahon early on was like, we're going to take wrestling out of the bingo halls and we're going to bring it to the masses and make it a family-friendly product, the Attitude Era kind of, I don't say they put it back in the bingo halls, but it made it definitely where, you know, if you were not a guy from like 15 to maybe 29, like the product really wasn't for you. And now it's evolved into a family-friendly product. I think it's something that this is a benchmark moment in the history of pro wrestling. Apparently, Rupert Murdoch in the meetings said to Stephanie and Triple H, we will not be embarrassed by your product. You will be part of our programming. We will advertise. And apparently on Fox Sports, there'll be some sort of like recap show or something like that. So apparently they were very taken by the notion that Fox was like, we are going to celebrate what you do. And when you think in terms of like when you watch USA, Raw is part of Raw and SmackDown are part, but you don't see commercials everywhere. And Raw and SmackDown are probably the highest rated shows on USA, and about the highest, one of the highest, and one of the reasons why USA can keep themselves afloat. But you don't really get that feeling that the network in and of itself celebrates having wrestling on their on their network. And you look back to WCW, and when WCW went under, like the guys in the front offices did not celebrate pro wrestling as an entity. It was like, all right, well, it's kind of like pro wrestling was always the whore. You know, it was like, we'll pay her and we'll do what we're going to do, but let's keep her separate from our family life and everything. And for Fox to say, like, we're going to celebrate pro wrestling, we're going to celebrate or sports entertainment, we're going to celebrate the WWE, it's a family-friendly product now. And I do think that it's once it's out there on Fox, and if Fox is true to their word and the advertising is there and they celebrate having the product, you know, money's money is money. And once other networks start to see, like, hey, there's cash to be made here. It's always been fascinating to me that wrestling has been this multi-billion-dollar industry that, for whatever reason, like, the mainstream just continues to steer clear of. There's so much money to be made, and it's pro wrestling. We can't get involved with that. And now that the dam has been broken, so to speak, if Fox is really willing to put it out there, I think we could see easily WrestleMania being on network television. Again, I hope so, because I would love to see it get back to like a 4-hour kind of broadcast. Or maybe they do something where 4 hours would be on NBC and the other 9 to 10, 12 hours would be on the network. But to long-windedly answer that question, yes, I could see WrestleMania. And also, you said 5 to 10 years. I wouldn't be surprised if it's sooner than that.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to agree with that assessment. I think within 5 years, you're going to see WrestleMania somewhere on a network. Because as you said, Ken, when you look at WrestleMania and you look at the spectacle it has grown to be, I think what's telling, especially being that we have gone to the last couple of WrestleManias, and this past WrestleMania in New Orleans. Not for nothing. I know that the WrestleMania that was previously in New Orleans, I don't think you spent as much money that time as you did this, because it seemed to me that somehow New Orleans learned that, you know what, these folks will come out in droves for wrestling, and these folks will spend money to hang around wrestling. So, as you said, there's money to be made, and I think people are starting to take notice, you know, be that, you know, host states, be that TV networks, and, you know, those advertising dollars are there. You know, people complain about the length of Raw, 3 hours, and, you know, I think what your average wrestling fan fails to realize is it's not 3 hours for the content. It's not like they want to put out 3 hours worth of wrestling. It's about the advertising. You know, these people are making money hand over fist. WWE is making money hand over fist selling, with advertising dollars. So I think the potential is there, and you are absolutely going to see WrestleMania somewhere out there in the mainstream within 5 years. Absolutely.
And it's amazing that you said that. That's a really good point, because I had heard, someone had said to me that once they heard that WrestleMania was going to be back in New Jersey, that he went to book a hotel room, and they had already jacked up the price for that weekend. It was like the Friday night of WrestleMania weekend, the price per night was like double. So you're right. Like, wow. Other entities are starting to realize there's money there's a lot of money to be made. And it's interesting for myself going to Mania the past 10 years and going to Houston and feeling like the city really had no clue what business can be made to what I'm seeing now when I go to WrestleMania, where all the businesses, all the hotels, all the bars, all the restaurants are, there is cash to be made when WrestleMania comes into town. And now, and again, I think ESPN, if not a lot, has something to do with bringing it to the mainstream. But I do think that finally, which is amazing, like being a wrestling fan for 30-plus years that it seems like finally network television is like, wait a second. Like, there's – like, why are we trying to produce another show? Like, let's repackage Lethal Weapon, you know, and see how many people want to buy advertising. And it's like, wait a second. There's this, like, established multi-billion-dollar industry that's not being broadcast. Like, we can just all this is money. All we need to do is pay for it to be on our broadcast team, our broadcast networks, and make money. And that's where I think Fox is brilliant for doing this. And once Fox does it and there's money being made, then other networks will be like, you know, we got to get into the wrestling game. And don't be surprised if other wrestling companies wind up getting a network deal here or there. I think it will open the door for wrestling to really come back into that mainstream and be a real – mainstream products. So I think it's an excellent topic, Dave, but we are really on the cusp of something potentially historical in the industry that really could change everything going forward.
Yeah. I mean, I was really hoping that Fox was going to acquire both shows and for a couple of reasons. One, to kind of give wrestling that mainstream feel and give it credibility being on a network like Fox. I pictured it almost like how the NFL does their football games on Fox, you know, and how there's got that credibility and that feeling of, you know, importance when you watch those games every Sunday. I felt like Fox could kind of add that element to WWE programming as well. And for the other selfish reason that, if Fox were to acquire Monday Night Raw, we would have no more three-hour Monday Night Raws because every local television newscast begins their late-night news at 10 p.m., and they certainly wouldn't ask all the Fox markets to move their news to 11 or move their news to, you know, 10:10 or whatever so that Raw could overrun. And selfishly as a fan, it would take the three-hour snooze fest that Raw has been in the last 6 years and move it to back to the quick, fast paced 2 hours that put it on the map. Now, for me personally, to answer the question, I could see WrestleMania being like the Super Bowl on network television, being a big major event during a time period where there's that kind of lull in television in terms of like big major sporting events. You're about 2 months removed from the Super Bowl. Baseball, you're in between baseball season starting, so major networks getting a WrestleMania during that time period, you know, right around the time of the NCAA tournament, I think like Fox and NBC could benefit majorly from that. Now, whether it airs on Fox or NBC beats me, but one of those networks, and I'll just say NBC for instance, the kickoff show could air for 1 hour on simultaneously as a simulcast on NBC and WWE Network. They can advertise a major championship match or a main event caliber match in addition to like two of the lower card bouts that are normally for the kickoff show. Gives WWE Network subscribers a big reason to watch the kickoff show and to attract ratings to that network as a lead into Mania. Like you said, Ken, I keep the show at about 4 hours, okay? Now, if it's the Mania main card would air live, commercial free, on NBC only, with advertisers splicing in their product in various ways, like this match is sponsored in part by Mountain Dew, or banners of certain products in or around the stadium, or in between matches, plug various products, advertise with the in-ring skirt, with the ring skirting, similar to what boxing does in some ways, with advertisements on the canvas. The WWE Network will play a big role in this as well. I would use the WWE Network as a modernized version of the 900 number that used to be big in the 90s with both WWF and WCW. Exclusive post-match interviews, reactions, follow-up on post-match angles, social media Q&As with the winners and losers. Keep the network a part of the show. You can even show snippets of clips from a post-match angle in the locker room on a split screen on the broadcast for the viewers at home that are missing what's going down on WWE Network to drive subscriptions or traffic to the network. Then use the old Tuesday pay-per-view replay model. You remember that when if you didn't watch the pay-per-view on Sunday, you got a chance to order it in prime time on Tuesday night. You called your cable subscriber. Use that pay-per-view model by advertising that the WrestleMania replay will be on demand at midnight on WWE Network after Raw goes off hour in between Raw and the midnight airing of Mania on WWE Network. WWE can air a live Raw post-show recap on the USA Network while having enough time to plug the on-demand debut of WrestleMania on the WWE Network. It allows people who don't have the network and those who missed the live airing of Mania on NBC a chance to order their free 30-day subscription to WrestleMania, to WWE Network, where they can get the on-demand replay of Mania and the next pay-per-view, Backlash, Extreme Rules, whatever the fuck they want to call it, for free to new subscribers. That would be, I'm no expert in marketing or advertising or television planning, but after having a conversation with someone and talking about this and bouncing ideas off each other, I think that's a very ideal format for WWE to go down when the time comes that they put WrestleMania on network television.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty incredible when you start to look at the idea that we may be looking at just a real renaissance and resurgence of wrestling in general. And when you look at, again, what Cody Rhodes is doing, I mean, a little off the specific topic, but with All In, and, you know, he has described it as a Woodstock for pro wrestling fans. And this deal that Fox has made with the WWE, the potential for WrestleMania to be on network television. And in all honesty, when I think of network television, though, I also think in terms of, you know, maybe we start to get better storylines. You know, maybe, you know, when people are booing, you know, when Fox says SmackDown on their network and fans are like booing stuff or not liking storylines, and maybe the execs at Fox are like, you know, could you give us something that, you know, I don't need to be, you know, airing something on our network where the fans are chanting, you know, boring or some other crap like that. So, you know, maybe we get a better product, or maybe just in and of themselves, they think, you know, all right, we're on network television now. We have to step up our game and we have to make sure we're doing right. And we show, now that we have a broader audience, how good this product could be. So I think, again, when you look at what's going on now business-wise in pro wrestling, I think it's win-win for the fans. I mean, coming to network television, I'll say this, like, I'm not going to get any blood anytime soon because they're looking to market a family-friendly product. So, you know, the days of bleeding may be officially done. But that being said, I think we'll get a better product. Wrestling will get more exposure. You know, and I think once it really comes out and it sees the light of day, we'll see more of, you know, I know our friends over at Busted Open on Sirius XM, like now they're on 5 days a week. But when they started, the powers that be, the big muckety mucks upstairs, didn't want to take pro wrestling seriously. You know, they're on a sports network, but they didn't want to, you know, they're the sports division, I should say, of Sirius XM. You know, now they're 5 days a week. You know, finally the bigwigs realized, hey, you know, this is a multi-billion dollar. I know I keep saying it, but it's staggering to me as a wrestling fan how much wrestling's been swept under the rug, where it's a multi-billion dollar industry. When you go to WrestleMania and you see wrestling and the industry of pro wrestling, not just the WWE, but the industry of pro wrestling and the amount of money it generates, it's just crazy to me that it took this long. But now that it's going to be on network television, I'm very intrigued to see where the business goes. Any last thoughts, Dave, on closing this topic before we move on to Rockies?
No, I think, I mean, I pretty much covered it, and I would say I'm in agreement with you that I think we're entering I don't want to say new era, because that term gets kind of thrown out there, but a in the history of the industry. I mean, this is going to be the largest audience that WWE is going to be airing their programming weekly on Fox. And, you know, as of right now, you know, ink to paper, it hasn't happened yet between WWE and NBC Universal regarding Raw, but that's the rumored deal that has been made. So who knows, maybe Fox will sweep in and acquire the rights to Monday Night Raw as well. Only time will tell, but, intrigue, yes, definitely, to see what kind of a presentation the programming is going to have on Fox and on network.
And it'd be interesting to see the ripple effect. You know, if you have wrestling that's successful on a major network, do other networks try to get into the wrestling game? Do other networks, you know, try to – does ROH get a TV deal somewhere on network television? Do you know, it could be a copycat world, you know, hey – Fox is making money. Let's try and throw some money at another wrestling product. shows like we're doing right now? Do major radio stations start to look at, hey, like, you know, terrestrial radio? We need a wrestling program on our network. We need to, you know, respond to that. I know I listen to Mad Dog Radio a lot, and I listen to Morning Men in the mornings, and they're a sports show, but they're kind of wrestling friendly. You know, do they have to change their show a little bit and you know, mention wrestling a little more? Do other sports radio shows need to at least acknowledge it as it's on ESPN? Now it's going to be on network television. Do we see, you know, certain radio stations kind of jump in and say, hey, like, there's money being generated now. If someone wants to advertise on SmackDown on Fox, that same entity, that same company may very well want to advertise on a radio show that has to do with pro wrestling. So when you look at, like, where this could go and the different, and I'm sure there's things I'm not even thinking of, like how it could just ripple and change just the wrestling industry and honestly change TV. It's exciting. It's exciting, and it definitely gives us stuff to talk about. So, Rocky, we've had dogs. We've had the business landscape of pro wrestling. Let's give us your topic.
Okay, well, you know what? Dave's topic kind of really segues quite well into my topic, because we're going into a crescendo here, and we visited the business. But my topic was really, at least my first of a couple of topics that I have floating around in my head, was really the present state of pro wrestling and where do you see it going. And I'll preface it with, as we talked about a little bit earlier, with All In. When you have the effect of All In, a wrestling show that is not WWE, that sold over 10,000 seats in under, was it half an hour? I know it was an hour. I think it was sold in under half an hour.
I think it was about 30. It was like, it may have been like 38 minutes, but something like that.
But something, you know, something that hasn't been heard of in quite some time. And I don't know. I don't know if either of you heard, but through the rumor mill, the last show that Cody Rhodes was on, he alluded to an All In 2 and holding it at MSG and trying to sell out an MSG. You know, MSG, last seating capacity numbers I looked at was 20,000 plus. So he's looking to expand. And I think it's an interesting topic to think, because when you look at the state of wrestling now, especially with the numbers that Dave has brought forth and the numbers you're talking about with the Fox deal and whatnot, if you listen to, full disclosure, I'm a listener big listener of Jim Cornette. And for those of you out there in the Reedyverse, after you have finished listening to our show, I say flip over and just give Jim Cornette a listen at Cult of Cornette. But, you know, he discusses the numbers. And if you look at the numbers, especially when you look at wrestling in present day versus wrestling in the past, you still don't have anywhere near the viewership, anywhere near the live show numbers that you had in the past. But when you consider the viewership that you could potentially get with this Fox deal, when you consider on the WWE side, on the non-WWE side, you have Cody, and it seems Cody's crusade to give the people something else besides WWE, which, you know, I think all of us have made the debate of what the potential competition can do to wrestling as a whole. You can either be of the attitude of, we have all the tools to see wrestling really skyrocket back into levels that it hasn't seen for quite some time, or on the other side of that coin, especially when you have, one thing you hear from the older generation of wrestling fans and wrestling personalities is, the way you really ruin wrestling is you add suits. So all these executives, as you spoke about, Ken, before, these executives will now have a hand. They're going to have a hand in that bowl, in that wrestling stew, if you will, making sure that it's something palatable to their viewership. You know, do we see wrestling rise, or do we see potentially the potential for a lot of calamity in the wrestling world? So, you know, I guess it comes down to, do you feel positive about what's going to happen, or do you feel that we could potentially be in a hell of a lot of trouble?
I feel positive. I mean, we could be. I mean, anything, whenever there's change, there's always that potential for disaster, a lot of plunder, baby, if you will. But I think this is a positive time period for pro wrestling. I'm not, again, ROH is one of those, like, if I hear, oh, there's a good match on ROH, I'll check it out online. I don't really watch the product religiously. When I heard about All In initially, I was like, yeah, that's cool. Good for him. There's no part of me that was like, oh, I wish I could be there. Now I wish I could be there. Like, they've done a nice job at building it. They've done a nice job at building the title match for the NWA championship. That I kind of wish I was going out to Chicago. And that's, you know, that's what you have to do. And I think they've done a really brilliant job. And they've kind of, you know, they've done an effective job at really using the internet and social media to build this event up. And I honestly think now, and the good thing, you know, when you're, I mean, Cody, it's almost like he's competing with himself. And if the rumor mill is true and he wants to do MSG, you know, what do you need for MSG? More people. How do you get more people? All In has to kick ass. So now you have Cody Rhodes, you have a wrestling entity that is not really established, but that has to go further, has to kick ass. So that locker room, whoever's booked on All In, you know, Cody and Hook and the Young Bucks or whoever has that like locker room meeting is looking at, you guys got to bring it. You got to tell some good stories. You got to give good matches. If you're cutting a promo, you got to get the crowd riled up, because we want to do All In two, and we want to do All In two bigger and better than the first one. Which again, when, you know, we've always said competition, who wins in competition? The fans. And I don't think we could look at and be naive and think that All In or what Cody's doing will ever compete with the WWE in the truest sense of competing. But I think he's competing with himself, and he's looking to be bigger and better. Like I said, this fan right here that's talking right now wishes he was going out to Chicago. And I didn't think I would feel that way. To me, it was like, and I definitely want to watch it. You know, I'm pretty excited that they, you know, they're having podcasts are there, different guests beforehand. I mean, it's like a mini WrestleMania weekend. So again, we'll see what happens. There's always that potential of things going awry. I'd like to stay on the positive side of things and think that the fans ultimately are going to benefit from everything that's going on. But I do think that we're looking at, and we may be looking, we're talking 5, 10, we may be looking 2 years, a year from now, thinking, wow, like the wrestling business is a lot different than it was a couple of years ago. But I'm excited. And I think what Cody Rhodes is doing is brilliant. And when you look at a guy who is, and I loved him in the WWE, and I know, like, you know, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't happy with Stardust. I think he was amazing. I mean, I thought he did a great job with Stardust. I loved all his characters in the WWE, but in all honesty, like, he was a guy in the WWE that I looked at as, I like him a lot. I'm a big fan of his. Really good mid-card guy. Not really sure if I see him as a main eventer, but, you know, really good. Like, good promos. Not great, but really good promos. I thought he did a great job with Stardust. And since he's gotten out of the shackles, quote-unquote, of the WWE creative, I mean, not to use the pun, but I'm all in with Cody Rhodes. I dig the character. I dig the blonde. I dig the man behind the character. You know, everything Cody's doing, I'm a fan of right now. And it's pretty impressive, because I don't watch a lot of other, like, I watch Raw, I watch SmackDown. I don't really watch a lot of other, like, I'll pick and choose. I'll watch matches here and there. I hear, oh, this promo was great. All right, let me find it on YouTube. But right now online, like, anything Cody Rhodes is doing, I want to watch. They did this great, like, it was a, they called it a promo, but this promo, I guess, of Cody and going after the NWA championship. And I was like, that wasn't a promo. That was a short film. That was done so well that it was more of a short film than looking at it as a promo to, you know, you say it's a promo to hype All In, like that cheapens what they did. They gave us a nice mini documentary, and I thought it was really well done, and for the first time in forever, and we've talked about it on the show, like, can there be a resurgence with the NWA Championship? We've had Cahagas on the show. We've had Rob Conway on the show. Both held the NWA Championship, and we were optimistic about could that championship be elevated again, only to kind of not be, and to kind of be disappointed, and go back a little bit with Adam Pearce. And, you know, there's been times where, like, the NWA title looked like maybe it could be elevated, not to yesteryear, but at least relevant in the world of pro wrestling. I, as a fan, I'm really optimistic that this title, the NWA title, is going to mean something in the world of pro wrestling, that we're going to be about. Now, whether Cody gets the title or not, with All In place, the NWA title matters, and hopefully it will continue to elevate. Your thoughts on this, Dave?
I see nothing but a positive, just based on the fact that they sold out in under 30, like you said, 38 minutes or whatever. And I'm sure that you two don't need any reminders, but our listeners out there, you got to remember who Cody Rhodes is, the son of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, the late great American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, a man who was an innovator both in the ring and behind the scenes. He's no different than his father in many ways. He's doing something, he's doing things in different ways, but in similar ways of what his father did and the impact his father made on the industry. His father was the head booker and, you know, you head coach and player of Jim Crockett Promotions and the National Wrestling Alliance, who were the biggest, I wouldn't say threat, but the biggest competition to Vince McMahon and the WWF in the mid to late 80s. And Dusty, with his brand of storytelling, wrote some of the most captivating stories and created some of the biggest moments in wrestling outside of the land of Titan, known as the WWF. And Cody is doing that now, in my opinion, by creating this All In with the Young Bucks, of course, because they had a big hand in it. I mean, there's no coincidence that he's going to main event. He's going to create his own event similar to what Dusty did. Dusty created Starrcade. He created the Great American Bash. Dusty was a big innovator. He's no different than his old man, creating All In and competing for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. He's trying to bring that title back to prominence. I think that title, within the last several months, since Nick Aldis, the former Magnus in TNA, that title has been elevated more in the last several months since he won that championship at an indie show in Philadelphia than it has been in 25, 30 years, in my opinion. And to go up in the main event against Cody at this groundbreaking show for the resurgence of the NWA brand, the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, and for just the business in general. You see nowadays, guys are moving from different organizations, working, they're the true definition of independent contractors. For the longest time, guys would be exclusive to one show or one brand or one organization. Cody works New Japan. He works Ring of Honor. He's going to run this All-In show. Nick Aldis just worked a show for Ring of Honor as the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. I mean, it's the market in wrestling is so wide open that I feel like something catastrophic would have to happen within the next year or so for, as you said, Rocky, the suits or the bigwigs to get involved, to get their hands on it and, you know, bastardize the industry known as wrestling. So I see nothing but a positive based on what Cody and the Bucks are doing. And I think Cody is going to be he's doing something that his father did, but doing it in a different way. He wants to make a mark and be an innovator and a groundbreaker in the business by promoting his own show and just giving guys the option outside of the WWE to build a name for yourself. And Cody has said in plenty of interviews, I don't have to go back to the WWE because of the life he has built outside of it, working his own schedule, making money on his terms and not being held under a contract, Would he like to go back? He has said that someday maybe that's possible. But right now he doesn't see that happening with the success that he's had in the industry. And you're seeing more guys take over that model that have left WWE or been released from WWE and are trying to make a name for themselves and brand themselves. Drew McIntyre did the same thing, and look what happened. 2 years later, he's back in WWE, back in a brighter stage. So there's nothing but positive as far as the landscape of the business goes. And Ken, like you said, maybe 2 years, maybe a year from now, we're going to be talking, holy crap, that's a different wrestling business than what we're currently seeing today. And that's going to be a good thing.
And again, and honestly, I give Matt Hardy a lot of credit for the business model of, well, if you have a name for yourself, like he got out and did the indies and get back into TNA, then got back to the WWE. But he was the guy that kind of, to me at least, established that business model of, you can go out on the indies and kind of make your own schedule and you set your price and you can make a living as a pro wrestler. Like, you don't necessarily need the WWE. You have to be more on top of things. You know, you sign with the WWE, you have a contract and everything's taken care of. Like, you have to have confidence in yourself and book yourself. But I give Matt Hardy a lot of credit for establishing that business model. And like a lot, it's really is, it's a modern day territory system. I mean, that's what we have now. If you look back on the territories back in the day, that's what we have right now with the independents. You know, the only negative I see coming out of this is more and more, and Rocky, we've been around it. Dave, you've been around it too. The more independent promotions that'll pop up that really have no business popping up. And, you know, we've been part of independent promotions that, you know, there's five people in the crowd. We've seen footage of that. I felt so bad, but, you know, WWE Hall of Famer Nikolai Volkov wrestling at an event without a ring. You know, that's the thing where as the business continues to blow up, I think you're going to have more and more guys thinking, oh, I want to be a promoter too. And you'll have, I think you have a lot more good independent promotions popping up, but you'll also have, and the good ones will get more fans driven to it because of the extra publicity that the industry of pro wrestling is getting, but you will have more bad, independent promotions popping up as well. That to me is the only negative I see potentially as wrestling continues to blow up. But I mean, I love everything that's going on with All In. In that promo, I love the fact that Cody said, I'm not doing this for my dad. It's like everyone says that, you know, he wants an NWA title for his father. He's like, everything I do is an homage to my dad. I want that belt for me. I want that belt. And I thought it was just so cool how he just said it point blank, and he's like, you know what? And if Dusty was here, he would say the same thing. Like, yeah, it should be about you. And Nick Aldis was great with, you know, you want to be All In, you're booking the match. Like, I'm the champion. You know, really? Like, you're saying you're going for the NWA championship. Like, you can't go for this title unless I say so. And I just thought, like, it was just, again, like a almost like a short film. And I just, you know, it's got me as a wrestling fan not only excited just to see it, but there's a story being told. There's the story outside the ring of can this event, can Cody Rhodes create something that gets wrestling fans excited and can build like a weekend event that's not a WWE event? Can the NWA title be elevated one more time? Do we get great storytelling within the ring? You know, I love the Cody Rhodes character where it is. I like what Nick Aldis is doing with that NWA championship. There's so much to get excited for, and you know that behind the scenes, they might not say it out in front, but they're looking to put a show on that anyone who's tired with the level of creativity in the WWE, that they're going to love All In. And that's what they want to put a product together where you're going to sit there being like, yeah, that's what the WWE is missing. And as a wrestling fan, it's got me excited.
No, I fully admit I'm excited too, but I would think the term that I would use for me personally would be cautious optimism. Because as you said, Ken and Dave, I am absolutely on board with everything Cody Rhodes is doing. I really hope for the best. I hope All In knocks it out of the park. And if he does All In too at MSG, you know, folks, I think that demands a Ken Reedy Show road trip to MSG to see All In too. You know, that being said, I'm also reminded, however, of how cutthroat the wrestling business can be. especially when you have the name that's in the mix of Vincent Kennedy McMahon. And we all know, you know, in history, how he cut out WCW and kept their pay-per-views off while promoting WrestleMania. And when you think about it, when you think of the demise of WCW, one of the precursors was there was so much money floating around, and you know, wrestlers getting complacent with making guaranteed money, you know, and having those contracts. And that's what makes this deal with Fox bring that to mind, and all the numbers that Dave brought up. You know, when you have that much money floating around, do you have the wrestlers of the WWE resting on their laurels, producing, for lack of any colorful term, mediocre content, just to say, look, I'm getting a paycheck and I'm getting a steady paycheck? I would say the only thing that would probably put a kibosh on that is the personality of one Vincent Kennedy McMahon, that, you know, WCW didn't really have that counterpart personality. And, you know, there's a lot of factors there that you could see, but the potential for catastrophe. But I, like you guys, I would like to remain optimistic, cautious optimism, because as we've all discussed, competition can only benefit the fans. It can only benefit us in seeing the product get elevated. And I'm really hoping with all I have that, you know, obviously at this point, Cody and his, you know, his budding show isn't a threat to WWE. But if he does get to that point, if he starts to climb that ladder, especially, let's just go out on a limb and say he sells out MSG, if he's going to do MSG, and he starts climbing that ladder, you know, eventually he's going to draw the attention of Mr. McMahon. And does Mr. McMahon go to his old cutthroat ways? Does he try to cut out his legs from under him and just try to buy it all out? You know, it's going to be – these next couple of years in the wrestling business, I think, are going to be very interesting to witness.
And what's interesting with that is, number one, do you have – I mean, here's the thing. When you look at WCW and WWE and the Monday Night Wars, the guy in charge of WCW and Ted Turner was not a wrestling guy. The guy in charge of All In is a wrestling guy. So, and again, I'm not saying All In can be a competition for the WWE, but you know, it's a good point. It's a good talking point that, number one, like the dollars that are being thrown around with these deals, the billions with a B that they're throwing around with wrestling. You know, Vince has some change to throw around. You know, does All In start to elevate? They sell out the Garden and Vince gives Cody a call and they're like, I want to buy everything. We're not for sale. $100 million. We're not for sale. $200 million. We're not for sale. $250. You got my attention. You know, $275. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, you know, money talks. And I'm sure, you know, I buy like Cody and want to do his own thing. But depending on what, you know, what the powers that be look at something being worth, I could see Vince saying, you know, we'll make this a WWE property. But then go the other way, and kind of what we're talking about, if WWE is successful on network television and Cody still wants to stay independent from the WWE, you know, does a network jump in that kind of lost out in the WWE sweepstakes, and as wrestling is kind of blowing up and sees this product that's not WWE, that sells out the Garden? I mean, the Garden, I mean, essentially, like, put this in perspective, that if, you know, 10,000 seats in 30 minutes. Let's just be optimistic and say they sell out the Garden, okay? That they go in that direction. Independent promotion sold out Madison Square Garden? I mean, let that sink in. The potential of an independent wrestling promotion sells out Madison Square Garden. Now, I don't know about you, but if wrestling is blowing up and it's doing well on network television and you're on a network and you're thinking, you know, maybe we should get into this wrestling game, I'm not looking at ROH. I'm not looking at TNA. I'm looking at the guy that somehow was able to sell 10,000 seats in under or around a half hour and was able to sell out the Garden. That's the guy like, hey, you know, this product hasn't been on TV as an all-in entity. Maybe we bring the NWA championship. Maybe we build a TV show around this where there's a new and exciting product, not an established one that goes to network television. again, we're spitballing here, but that's why I think that when it comes to even doing our show, I think there's going to be so many different business angles for us to discuss, so many things we can speculate on. And even for us, this show, I see us talking more about a lot of behind the scenes stuff because the behind the scenes stuff is so intriguing right now. But to me, it's interesting and it's funny because that was one of my topics, and it's cool that, like, you know, Dave and Rock, like, you kind of like brought it together. But like my topic was, how is this time period going to change the world of pro wrestling? And like I said, I don't think, you know, when Vince McMahon said we're going to go national, you know, maybe we didn't know really how much that was going to change the business. You know, go back, Eric Bischoff, Hogan turning NWO, you know, that benchmark to me, you know, that programming spawned the Attitude Era, changed the wrestling landscape for a chunk of time, you know, for those years. But I don't think you could have looked at the Hogan heel turn and think, oh yeah, like history is being made, you know, the wrestling business is going to change. I think that we're in a fortunate position right now where looking at All In, looking at the TV deals, that you could recognize that the writing's on the wall for the business to be changed, that we are standing at a historical moment, which is pretty cool to just be able to recognize that the industry as we know it is changing, and we can recognize it when it's changing. But, you know, Dave, we bring up All In and all the positives. I mean, there's so much positive surrounding it. I mean, we've hit a lot of it. Is there anything else you see as far as, I mean, now we're just spitballing and speculating, but anything else you could see coming out of All In? And do you think it has the potential to sell out MSG?
I wouldn't go that far just yet because, I mean, they could be trolling, you know, Cody could have been trolling the fans in the audience the other night when he made that statement. A couple things to keep in mind. The WWE doesn't run Madison Square Garden very often anymore. They run house shows there. The last time they did a major event was Survivor Series 2011. What's the guy's name that owns it? Dolan, right? That owns the Knicks.
Yes.
He also owns the building too, if I'm not mistaken, or his company does. They own Madison Square Garden. And one of the main reasons why WWE doesn't produce a television event at Madison Square Garden is because the rental fees of the building are like astronomical now for Vince McMahon and WWE to television event. However, if there's rumblings and an idea thrown out there or rumors within the industry that, you know, Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks are, you know, discussing or looking into trying to run the garden, it wouldn't shock me if Vince said, you know what, let me bite the, you know, you know, bend me over in the barrel, I'll bite the bullet, and we'll do a major show at the Garden, even though they've been building a relationship with the Barclays Center in Brooklyn in the last several years. So I wouldn't go that far as to say, can they sell out Madison Square Garden? We still don't even know if All In's going to be broadcasted on any kind of major streaming service. Is it going to be available on pay-per-view? Is it going to be available on television? So we still don't even know those details yet. For me personally, yes. It when they threw that idea out there about All In going into the Garden, or All In 2, I should say, going to Madison Square Garden, yes, it's a very intriguing idea, and I think it would be cool as hell if they sold out Madison Square Garden, and big things would happen not just for Cody and the Bucks, but would happen for the entire industry as a whole, that a small entity like them sold out Madison Square Garden. But I'm not going to put the cart before the horse here when it comes to that. And I'm going to at least evaluate All In One does first. But there's definitely some very, you know, positives, a lot of positives to come from All In One, and if they go to the Garden for an All In Two. So I think just as a whole in general, the industry in and of itself is definitely going to, if that were to happen, would be in a huge boom period.
The voice of reason.
Good
I'm stuff.
Sorry.
Like, great topic. You know, I kind of want to hit on something. It was a topic that I kind of had in the back of my head that, you know, if we had a little bit extra time, and I'm curious because all of us here are kind of old school fans, and I find it intriguing, you know, that when you come up with your lists, you know, everyone has their lists of all-time greats, all-time great worker, all-time great talker. Like, it's difficult for me once I have my list for people to crack in, you know, newer talent to kind of crack into the top five, top 10, whatever. And I'm curious your thoughts, because I've always kind of had in my head, you know, that the best talkers ever, and Dusty's on there. So, I mean, you know, say what you will. I put Piper number one, but whatever. Like, I've always thought, like, Piper, The Rock, Dusty, Flair, right up there. You know, then I get into guys like, I mean, Jake the Snake Roberts, Macho Man Randy Savage. You know, I can go on and on. But I find it intriguing for myself even, because when you come up with a list, and this is what kills me when, you know, this, if you're listening to the show and you respond to stuff on Facebook, this kills me. When you put something like, who do you think the best talker of all time is? And then people comment, well, you have to consider this guy. This, I know everyone you have to consider. I want to know who you think is number one. That's why the question is tough. When I say who's on your Mount Rushmore and someone gives me, well, these are 10 guys that could be on there. I get that. The point of the question is it's four. That's what kind of makes it tough to just put four on there. So when I look at guys like, I mean, I go through my list, and if I really sat here and made it up, like, I don't know if a guy like CM Punk, like, he doesn't crack my top five. I don't know if he cracks my top 10. Newer fans put him at number one. There's a guy like The Miz, who, you know, the past couple of years, I love what he's doing. And he's probably been one of the best talkers in the company. Bray Wyatt's been a really solid talker for the bulk of his career. But they still, like, for me as a fan, I have trouble, like, having them crack my top five. Is that just me being old? Am I, like, should I give these guys more consideration? Or, you know, did we just happen to live in the era of the better talkers, and it just so happens that other guys, and even the guys that are decent now, look very good because they're in an era of guys who really aren't that great at talking. Like, I always looked at CM Punk as a guy who was a very good talker in an era where people weren't cutting great promos. So I always looked at, yeah, the pipe bomb was great because no one was cutting good promos. You know, back when I was growing up, Piper cut a world class promo every time Piper's Pit was on. You know, like every time you handed the mic to Dusty Rhodes, you got a classic. It's hard for me even to look at The Rock and pick, like, you know, Dusty has hard times. I have a hard time picking, like, the promo for The Rock, because every time he had the microphone, he was entertaining. You watch the Attitude Era, and even guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, Edge, like, guys that I look at that are, like, really good talkers. I just have a hard time having anyone crack into, like, my top five, top ten. And I'm just curious, you guys, is it just us as wrestling fans being old, or were these guys the all-time greats? And honestly, they were the all-time greats, and the newer guys just don't cut it.
Well, I think there's an important distinction that needs to be made when you're talking a conversation like this, because there's one big divider between the talkers of yesteryear versus the talkers of present day. And that boils down to one word, and that's kayfabe. Back in the day, when you had your great talkers, one of the reasons why they were great talkers is because you believed in what they said, and you believed that this person does not like this person for whatever reason he is saying right now. And when it comes to, you know, insert time frame here, next week, next event, next pay-per-view, there is going to be a war in that ring because they don't like anyone. When you look at present day, you know, and the curtain has been pulled back some, you know, And maybe this could be us being a smartened up. This could be us being a little bit older. But A, at least to me, it almost seems a little formulaic, because we all know, you know, put the event over, put the time, put the place, and all that jazz. And aside from that, you know that they're, you know, like we said, it's a promo. You are promoting the event. Not to say that, like we said, there are some great, great present day talkers. You know, for me, as far as someone who kind of spans between old school, a little bit old school, a little bit new school, For me, Chris Jericho is high up on that list. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, back in the day when these people talked, not only did they have to talk, but they had to retain that belief that I don't like that guy. And if I see him on the street, I am going to freaking punch him in the face. Versus now when you have Instagram and you see, oh, these guys who are outside seeing together and have their arm over each other, oh, they're going to have a match. And I'm supposed to believe that he doesn't like that guy because he just insulted him on, you know, national TV. But really, they're going to go sightseeing. So I think that makes it really hard to say, are we being old? It's just, it's a different wrestling landscape.
What about you, Dave?
I think, Rock makes a great point. Kayfabe, believability. It's definitely a different wrestling landscape. But, I mean, count more guys from a yesteryear as an old curmudgeon. Then are great promos and can talk people into the seats than I can today. Everyone in today's era, and I wouldn't say it's no fault of the talent's own, because a lot of the talent has things written for them as, you know, what they're supposed to say by the creative team in WWE. But, you know, you didn't have that back then. You had guys thinking for themselves and establishing their character by the way they talk on their own. And, you know, they were, you know, the whole famous line, they were given bullet points. Now it's word for word. I think the previous era was much better in cutting promos and being good talkers than the last 15 years of talents. I truly believe that in my heart of hearts. You know, I was one of those, Ken, on the Facebook when you brought up those greatest of all, the list. I was one of those. I was so torn with a few guys, like, you know, greatest talker, you put Piper. I couldn't argue that. But at the same time, I'm such a huge mark for Bobby the Brain Heenan. I thought Bobby the Brain Heenan was the greatest talker of all time. You know, like, he was one of those that just, like, he made you love him, but he also made you hate him at the same time. So I truly believe, like, Rock, you do make some great points, and I can't argue with you on them, but I just think there were a lot better. There's more names out there from the past that could cut a better promo than there are in today's era.
Yeah, I think Rocky, I think that the point is, like, you really did. I mean, you believe that, you know, when Piper was cutting a promo, that he was a dick. You know, that was, and, you know, when Hogan was cutting a promo, like, watch it. As ridiculous as it was like, oh, God, Hogan's going to kill. He's going to kill somebody. You know, Bundy, you shouldn't have blindsided him, you know. And so there's that palpable hatred, you know. I always go back to Piper and Snuka where, you know, like, it's like Snuka, like, and you believe it. Snuka wanted to kill him. Whereas, you know, pulling back that curtain, it's like, oh, yeah, he's playing a part. He's playing a character. And that's really the major difference in the business. I think bringing up Chris Jericho was a great point. But again, he's a guy that broke in a few decades ago, you know? So it's I don't think we're breeding the best talkers. And like I said, CM Punk, like, gets thrown around as one of, and I think he's a good, good to above average talker.
Punk. Fuck him.
And also, like, in all honesty, I found was a fun promo. I think it's incredibly overrated because, I mean, let any of us go out there known about what you hate about your job. Go. I mean, like, again, not having, you know, they blurred the lines. It wasn't a kayfabe storyline. You just
work.
Got to piss and moan. Like, tell me, like, Hard Times is a promo. The pipe bomb was, all right, you're going to give me free reign to piss and moan about what I hate about the WWE. Well, I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. I'd like to thank Mr. Trivia for giving us a call. Love doing the shows because we never know what we're going to talk about. And I think, from your favorite dog characters, best talkers, to the economic landscape in the world of pro wrestling, we're all over the place, and that's why we do these shows. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. We'll be back next week. Don't know exactly what we're doing Father's Day weekend. That's a Money in the Bank weekend, so we'll let you know what the scheduling is. Summer scheduling is just terrible. But thank you all for tuning in tonight. Have a great rest of your Sunday. For Rocky and Dave, I am Ken. Good night, everybody.